Father, thank you so much for what you have done over the past 4 years. And as we look to your scripture, we pray that you will speak to each one of us, and not only Crossway members, but also to everyone who are visiting here, whether they belong to another local church or whether they are searching for answer in their lives. We pray that you will speak to us. We seek your glory as our supreme concern throughout the hour. In Jesus' name, amen. For 4 years, Crossway has been journeying with this idea of scripture guidance and spirit dependence. So we're asking this year, Lord, what would you like to see in Crossway and through Crossway? And the word came to me as I'm discerning, with other brothers and sisters in our community. It was something about church, but before I reveal that, I think the church concept is so confusing these days because of postmodernism. Brought so much of deconstructionism about what church is like, and there are church point, 2.0, 3.0, maybe there's 5.0 somewhere too. But we want to go back to the scripture and ask questions. How can we get a clear view? Give us a clear vision. All right? At least there are three things that I see here. The first one is church is not an enterprise, but a spiritual family of believers in Christ. And we mean that. We've been living as a spiritual family for 4 years. So I have been called not so much of a Pastor Paul, but Uncle Paul from all the kids. I love that. And our kids have so many uncles and aunts. And that's why part of the spiritual family, because we belong to Christ and we have the same Father and same Spirit. But notice this, Sam Pascal, he's an American scholar, wrote this sentence, which is very insightful. Christianity started out in Palestine as a fellowship. It moved to Greece and became a philosophy. It moved to Italy and became an institution. It moved to Europe and became a culture. And it came to America and became an enterprise. Because America is so good at getting the consumers. And because we cannot deny the fact that we consume every day, and there are so many good stuffs out there, unless we become vigilant, the church becomes that somewhere we shop for spiritual goods. Do you know that, you're very familiar, I am very familiar with Yelps. Whenever you go, you want to go to check out this restaurant, you want to check Yelp rating first and read some comments. Recently I found their Yelp on churches. And the people make remarks, what was good and what was not good. The reason for 3 stars and the reason for 2 stars, whatever the reason is. But if foundationally something wrong, and people who are commenting, it doesn't feel right, but in my opinion. It doesn't feel right to rate the church. Because it became an enterprise. We belong to God's household. Ephesians 2:19 says, as brothers and sisters in Christ, if so, we are not to see a local church from a consumer's point of view. Some of you are looking for church, searching for church. And we carelessly use the word church shopping. Once we begin to have that kind of mentality, what happens is, church is a store that I get something that I need rather than family. Easier said than done. We're continually practicing. What does it mean that we don't become a consumer-oriented church? Because otherwise, there will be a group of people who act like owner. There will be a group of people who are coming as a customers. To do away this has been one of the most difficult things in our church. Because in our mindset, that's so embedded. Because we want people to stay and people's needs be met. And we want our needs be met. But first of all, we should think about, we have one Father coming together, becoming a spiritual family. That is the church. Second, the head of the church is not the pastor or the governing board. Some churches will have, our church have a leadership team, which is the elders' board, and others have a council and whatnot. So typical secular mind, people who are walking into church from a street point of view, who's the point guy? Well, it must be the pastor because he's the... Some churches call senior pastor, or you know, our church called a lead pastor. But head pastor, the meaning that, you know, he's the most, has authority and higher. In one sense, it became a kind of one man is too important. So we use those, you know, popular, powerful speakers and pastors, so-and-so's church and so-and-so's church. Okay, that is kind of dangerous to begin with. It's a Christ church. Head of the church is Christ. And rest of us belong to him. You know, in another sense, we could think about it as, you know, if church is hires a pastor to run the church, that means my job is sitting in distraction and watching and enjoying. But we don't do that in family, right? There's a family gathering and family meeting. But in between families, there's so many conversations, ongoing things. Exercises of their own generosity to each other, encouraging, and sometimes rebuking. So I think we need to think about this mindset of that we ought to see our preeminent need for submitting to the headship, including the pastor, including the governing board. What pastor and what Christ wants and desires for our church and how he has revealed his will in the scriptures and following the way of Jesus rather than way of trendy culture. And by the way, we hold no judgment. The way that we are doing our message today is not to judge or evaluate other churches. It's for us to look at following Christ and submitting to Scripture. The third and last, the goal of the church is not organizational success, but spiritual maturity as his church, as Christ's church. This has been difficult for me because whenever we go to church gathering, I mean conferences and pastors gathering, inevitably the questions ask, how big is your church and you know how large your church? And I found myself having all these new convictions about church and under the guidance of scripture guidance and spirit dependence, I found myself hesitating. How many people we have? Because that will kind of put a little label on me. Somehow effectiveness, and then as a guy, it kind of worth, self-worth attached to that. So it's been my, you know, spiritual discipline to say, you know, one sentence, we have a very small church, including kids. We have about 70 kids, 70 people at our church, 60, 70, period. But I used to say, having said that, but we're doing church so radically. Why? Why is that necessary? Last year, our spiritual direction was to be a praying church. We struggled. We didn't master this prayer. We still have a small prayer gatherings. I'm hoping that more people will come in the future. But this year, I really felt because of how God has been carrying us through for 4 years, and moving into the new facility is quite a jump. And it's time for us to grow up. By grow up, I mean as a body of Christ. So Crossway's vision for 2012 and spiritual direction is simply, we seek to be a maturing church. The reason why I say maturing church, in New Testament, the word mature is equated as a perfect. One who is mature is also perfect. And today's text will reveal that even more. To attain in the future tense sentence, even Apostle Paul saying, it's not that I have obtained yet already and became mature or perfect yet. I press on to the prize. But the reason why we're using that word, maturing, is it's a process. We will not get it done this year, but this year we will look at it hard together. Maturing church. If you find the perfect church out there, don't join it. Because once you join it, it will be imperfect church because of you. So in light of today's text, there are four marks as we look to grow up into Christ. If you belong to Crossway, please pay attention, because to these four things are the things that we're going to do throughout the year. If you're visiting with us, I pray that you will take these four marks and practice it in your own church. The first one is this: a maturing church pursues the unified goal toward Christ-likeness, growing up into the fullness of Christ. That's right. The goal has to be unified. The unity of faith. And I'll explain a little bit later on that. But basically, when church decide to grow, the first thing that we need to do is, what is our goal? We need to have a unified goal. That Christ-likeness, the fullness of Christ, is what we want to pursue together. Verse 13, by the way, verse 11 and 12, we'll take it back to the verse 16 later. Verse 13 reveals this: until we attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The maturity we need to think about here, we need to think about maturity biblically, which means the Western culture also hinders us and it distracts us. What is it? Individualism. Rugged individualism. When you think about maturity, you think about, how can I grow? How can I be more solid? How can I do this? Now, there is a truth in that. What biblical maturity, especially in this context, it's a corporate maturity. We're responsible for each other as a body. The Crossway, a local body of Christ, will become mature in Christ. In Colossians 1:20, said that Paul is saying, I'm striving for this. Why? To present everyone mature in Christ. Not some. Not people who are excited, not people who are core peoples and leaders get mature. No, everyone mature in Christ. And obviously, that involves and requires individual maturity. In other words, our goal and the church's goal has to coincide. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Have you ever thought about this? You want to do better in your work. You want to do better in your finance, in your family life, and your other things. And maybe even you want to do better in your Bible reading. Stuff like that too. But have you ever thought about, I really need to focus on growing up spiritually. I will be mature. At least, you know, intentionally and deliberately this year. That's the idea. We need to have that. Our churches need to have that. Otherwise, what happens is we have a bunch of people whose head is so big because they hurt so much, but their body is so immature, walking around, knocking everyone down. And spiritual sickness comes from that. If you don't do anything, sit around and eat candy, your kids will get sick and you something wrong with that picture. But if you see your kid, your children, exercising, eating different things, and interacting with others, the socially and different things, they grow up mature. And all of a sudden, not only they're physically tall, but you could see sense of responsibility. While Kate and I were away, you know, Kate's mom was babysitting and Soren was trying to take out trash bag on his own. I was so proud. He's never done that in front of me. There are two words, right? Some scholars will say the unity of faith and of the knowledge of Son, that's the same thing. But I think that I'm on the other side to think that unity of faith, because the article, the faith, I think this is about shared, solid doctrine about who Jesus is. So we are to agree on that as a church together. And then as our church continually grows, we need to be knowledgeable, not because knowledge helps us in some sense better than others, but because we are to agree on, have the unity in those solid doctrine that we don't become wavy. The second thing is a knowledge of the Son of God. That side is more of a experiential things. As we obey and practice who Christ is. Both are needed, isn't it? So how are we to grow? We are to have the same goal and same passion to grow up into Christ. So people of God, this year, 2012, before we are ushered into February, the first month, let us determine. Not that we're going to grow overnight, but become deliberate, intentional about growing up together. The second sign of maturity or mature church, maturing church is this. Maturing church seeks stability and discernment, forsaking childish ways. This is a more negative side of Paul's approaching. Look at verse 14. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. So the first sign of spiritual immaturity or childishness is this instability and naivety. Why? Because root is so shallow. There's no depth. So here's a trendy thing, even good things, that will go to that. And another will say, this movement is good, and we'll go to that. And now that there's a postmodern movement, there's so many savvy, you know, really good things out there. Even working with the poor, is that trendy these days? We are to work with the poor and help the poor, not because it's trendy, but because Christ commanded us to be real. Oh, on the other side, there's so many secular humanism and pop psychology and different things are coming in, right? Getting our attention. We are to forsake those childish ways. Just clarification, childlikeness is openness and teachability, simple faith, which Jesus encourages us to have, right? Childishness thing is, you are fickle. You just don't stick to what you believe. You're, toss and fro. It's basically anchorless boat, it's moving around because of the wind and because of the storm. So for those of us who are deciding to grow up, we need to decide a few things. What is going to be my anchor? How am I going to grow deeper? And first of all, we need to be anchored in Scripture so that when all things are changing, God's Word, unchanging Word, will hold me up in one place. You know how powerful is that? I urge you, sisters and brothers, to begin a day in Scripture, holding onto God's unchanging Word as your guidance for the day, for the week, for the month, and for the year. So how are we to grow? We are to challenge our own shallowness and fickleness and grow deeper in Christ, in our faith, in our communal life, as His church. Third sign, a maturing church practices truth and love in all areas of individual and communal life. Now the positive side, the process that Paul is encouraging is this. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him, who is the head, into Christ. We are to embrace both, not just one, truth and love. The word truth, the speaking the truth, is, if you look at the Greek word, is actually the combination of three words saying basically true thing, doing truth. Not just telling, but living the truth. And the other one is love, balanced with love. Or maybe we should really say the whole thing is truth, but one is continually, holding on to the conviction and living it out, and the other one is providing the loving contents as a motivation of why we do what we do. It's not easy. Oh, by the way, the balance, delicate balance of truth and love is a sign of maturity. So we are to be patient with each other, but when you look at the truth, and some of you are holding on to truth so much, the love side is kind of submerged, right? And then if you hold on to the love side so much, the sharp side and bright side of love, truth is gone. So then love is not full love, and truth is not full truth. How do we keep our community healthy? Starting with this. Speaking the truth. And in a way, one way to think about it is speaking the truth, meaning speaking the gospel to each other. And we could look at that. But another more fuller way, I think, is speaking truthfully to each other. Instead of talking to someone else, go to that person. Lovingly and very thoughtfully share. Don't wait too long. Bring it right away. Well, in order for us to do that, we need to begin with ourselves. In other words, we have failures and junks and baggages, right? Facing truth about ourselves. And we have there are things that I am regrets and ashamed of. How I lived and how I did ministry, how I hurt people. I would like to go back and do all that. But if I hide anything, then I'm thinking that I'm all that. I'm not even living in truth. Accepting myself as Christ has accepted my failures, my sins, my shortcomings, just as I am. We could do that. That's grace. When we practice walking in the light and accepting God's love and God's grace, we are ready to live truthfully with others and lovingly with others. So the quick summary of how are to love, grow, we are to boldly apply truth and love in a balanced and harmonious way, following Jesus' example. Whenever we get confused, look at Jesus, and he will show us the way. Lovingly and truthfully. Fourth and last, a maturing church has every member's participation in building the body of Christ in love. And some of you already going ahead, and Paul's going to talk about spiritual gifts. Yes, but it's much more than that. So let's be patient, because this is the part that I was much more convicted and moved. The context is verse 11 and 12, and 16 we put it together. And he, Christ, gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, the shepherds, and other passages. Other translations will say the pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. First of all, everyone who's saved, who are in Christ, you belong to Christ, you have spiritual gifts. Something that God has given you as a tool. Not because you take a look at it and feel good about it, as we often do when you take a personality test and you really kind of curiosity kicks in and you want to find out what are good things about you and feel good. That's the wrong way to find out and even think about spiritual gifts. The purpose of spiritual gifts, the reason why gifts are given to us is for the edifying the church. So one way to really face truthfully about assessing our spiritual gifts is to think about or even ask about feedback about what I do passionately and how I serve. Are anybody helped? Are anybody encouraged and built? And that is your spiritual gift. You are to continually do that. But even if you're passionate and no one really gives you positive feedback, move on. It's not about you. I'm talking about myself. I love singing. I used to sing. I still do in my shower and, in my car. My kids will say, "Could you stop singing?" But I love it. I sound good to me. But if it's not edifying, at least in the public, I should not sing that much. A healthy, maturing body requires every part's vital, active function. If not, it weakens the body. Just think about this. My brother had a kidney failure about 20-some years ago. He had a cadaveric kidney. He's been living on. Now his health is kind of declining because kidney had, for 20 years, is not functioning as much as it used to. So think about the body of Christ. The reason why I did introduction about where we're going with this message is, when you think about church as an enterprise, it's a place to go and get my services and meet needs met. There's not much you really need to do. Because that's why the spiritual gifts, we should not think about it as, like in Sunday setting, and our church is needed. Your participation in setting up, there, brothers and sisters who are coming early, we don't have separate setup team. And they have kids too, young ones too, but they come 1 hour early, sometimes 1 hour 15 early, or 15 early, minutes early. They do. And we need more people like that. We need people who could sing, and we need people who could do all that. Oh, that's all good, right? But even that, if we are thinking spiritual gifts that way, how the church is on the surface is run, it's shallow. What Christ wants us to build up one another. If you sit next to someone and that person is encouraged because of your care and listening ear, that is a spiritual gift. That is how you are to participate. And some of you are saying, "I have a 6-month-old baby. I just can't do anything." But you could pray during baby's nap time. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for people who are going through a tough time. And their marriage is, that their family one has still fighting cancer. Pray for the breakthroughs in China for our missionaries in Thailand. Pray for your pastor so that I could be continually faithful to Spirit's leading. Whatever it is, my message, my urging is, you are not to be passive. Even gentle smile, intentional greeting helps and edifies the church. So how are we to grow? We are to obey Christ's call to build the body of Christ, doing our part diligently and passionately. So let's shift this paradigm about what church is. Church is not a place I go once a Sunday that I watch service and be inspired and come back and then recharged next Sunday again. This is not a biblical church. The biblical church is, church are people, brothers and sisters that I journey with. And I'm going to be intentionally building the body together. Contributing, not just financially, but contributing with my care, my strength, and my passion. There's so much we could do. What is the result? The result is body is strengthened. The whole body is growing up. As we do that, God gets the glory. Christ is exalted. The world is watching and feeling countercultural, radical differences in us and from us. And all this reminded me of a book that I read several years ago. Ray Steadman's book is called The Body Life. I would recommend it. He wrote it in 60s or 70s. Still very powerful. I would like to conclude with this excerpt. Ray Steadman writes, "So don't struggle with the place in which God has put you. Accept it, welcome it, and seek to relate in honest love to the other Christians around you. As each member of the body accepts his or her role in the body and seeks to carry out that role, ministering to the rest of the body in truth and love, then the body will grow more healthy. Each member of the body will be doing what he or she was meant to do and equipped to do. As gifts are used and love is expressed throughout the body, a marvelous harmony will emerge. A harmony which leads to maturity throughout the body and which produces a witness that will draw thousands more men and women out of their darkness and into the church. The whole body is together is manifesting an increasing way of the wholesome, balanced, a well-adjusted manhood and stature of Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. I forgot to mention, let me just clarify, lest you misunderstand. You know, the verse 13 says, to mature manhood. He's not talking about malehood. It's a personhood. As the whole body becomes whole person, like the Christ was whole and full in his maturity. We're not talking about his deity. We're talking about his character, his gentleness, his truthfulness, and his love. In all aspects that we are to grow fully into Christ. My encouragement as we go today, that we will depend on the Spirit. Because the very thing that we're talking about, unless we are dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to fickle. We're going to give up on the way. Just like we give up diets and give up fitness regimens. But if we continually depend on Christ, because of love and truth, we're encouraged. Failures are accepted, encouraged. We receive, we rebuke, and we get up again and walk again. He will strengthen your knees. And by the way, don't do it alone. Do it with your brothers and sisters right next to you.